This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I don't know about you, and maybe it'll change one day, I don't know. But tipping that God doesn't actually ever stop working on our hearts, it probably won't. But you put a message together, and then God goes, do you actually believe it? Just being honest. Do you really believe I'm that good that I can do it? That was mine this week. Over our week, we spent in here praying and those things, there was a number of words was that God is bringing down the walls. And we've been very loosely looking at Joshua and Joshua's journey. So over the last little while, we've looked, we've crossed the Jordan, we've followed, we've paused, we've followed the presence of God. We've then had the pause before the promise. All the guys remember the flint knives. The healing. And then we had Pentecost last weekend where the pouring out of the presence. But the next part in the journey for Joshua was that he got to the walls of Jericho. And in Joshua chapter 6 verse 1, first slide please, Nathan. The next one. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. Do you ever read scripture and you get to one verse and you go, well, that's it, I'm done. I don't really need to go any further. Because as I read that and I was looking for an image to put on my PowerPoint, and this one is what I found. Love breaking through the wall. You know, in life, if we put walls up around our heart, and we all do it because we've all been hurt, it stops us from getting out and God and others getting in. I had a moment yesterday. So I went up to Benalla, and I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but the general overview is we went up there, caught up with Graham and Andrea Peake, who run Nothing Hidden Ministries here in Australia and do love after marriage workshops and single life workshops and a whole heap of things. Bring your people, you will get to meet them really soon. They're going to be running a Love After Marriage conference here in October, of which if you are married, I would highly recommend that you come. But they'd done a little bit of prayer stuff with Michelle the night before, and then I said it before I get to bed, I said, oh, Graham, I think there's a few things that have come up for me. Can we just pray through those things in the morning? And so we did that. We went out for breakfast. We came back and we sat down at their kitchen table. And he goes, are you ready? And I went, yeah, I didn't think it was too big. Until God showed up. Until God revealed a moment where some of you may know a little bit of the story of that I wasn't able to go to my mum's funeral because of a whole heap of family stuff. And as God shone his light into it, the realization, see, I was 15 years gap between me and my next brother. When you're 15, having a baby in the family, it's a little bit of an inconvenience. And in our situation, I was born into a really chaotic situation. And God showed me so clearly that the things that had been born in offense when I was born were manifesting in mum's death. I had no idea. And I go, wow, those walls we have up, we don't even know it. The reality is from birth to year about 5, 6 is we do so much of our growing, so much of our understanding of the world comes from that time. And if we're missing key parts of the nurture and all of those things, walls are put up. We put up walls to protect ourselves. And we don't realize it. I didn't realize it. Now, the beautiful thing was, this wasn't painful. This was actually extraordinarily eye-opening and a blessing for me to actually learn and understand. As God pushed through my walls and gave me an understanding of some of the things of why I do what I do, why I react to things the way I do, and why my family does what it does. And it was this extraordinary moment where I went, reconciliation is possible if Jesus intervenes. Because I was able to forgive, let go, and it was extraordinary. And there was a whole heap of other stuff in it, and I won't get into all that. But going and sitting with God and with trusted people is such an important part of our journey. One of the things that we do when we're hurt is that we pull away from everybody. We'll have a few safe people, but that's really about it. And we put these walls up and protect people. Have you ever had that where you know that you can get to certain, you know, get to this line, but if I cross that line, I know that I'm walking into a minefield. I don't quite know whether it's safe or not. That's the walls that we put up around our heart to protect ourselves. God showed me this morning, I needed to pick this up. It's this. We walk around like this, trying to portray something, but we're in behind it, we're hiding. In behind it, there is stuff going on that God is wanting to bring healing to. This is actually where we protect it even more. Because our hearts get hurt. Can I have the next slide? Joshua chapter 6, 18 to 19. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Next slide. Everything made from silver, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his sanctuary. Why is this in there? The reality is, it's because if we carry anything else into the presence of God, if we go, I don't know, we could carry anything. Think about addictions, think about painful experiences, think about if we haven't got our heart healed in certain things, when we walk into a new relationship, things will manifest at some point. We're all, you know, there's a lot of people married here. We know that we get married, it all looks fantastic, and we're all excited, but we get into marriage and we soon find out this stuff. The stuff that we carried, that I carried into my marriage, that Michelle carries into our marriage, and it collides. Or am I the only one? Come on, give me some feedback here. You know what I'm talking about. And it's the same in our relationship with Christ. We come to him and we go, Lord, I give you everything. But quite often we've still got something that we're hanging on to. Might be unforgiveness towards somebody. Might be just someone really hurt me. And God is wanting to break down those walls, because if we are going to step into this new revival and this new thing that God is wanting to do on earth, we can't carry anything from the old season in. And the older we are, the more stuff we've got. and in some ways the harder it is for us to lay it down. Even our concept of how church looks, how church is done. I had someone sharing some stuff with me the other day from another denomination that's always been known for its newness and doing things new ways and all those things. And now there's this control element coming from the top of that movement over a whole heap of small churches, and they're controlling and manipulating what actually happens within the life of the church. No different to some of our older in-stayed denominational systems. And I go, wow. If you don't throw out the old wineskin completely, you don't get the new thing, do you? It eventually comes back. We eventually come back to the old ways of doing things. And we get offended when things aren't done the way that we think they might need to be done. And I believe that God is saying for us, as a church, we learn from the past. We learn from people that have gone before. And I value that, and I really value it, because you do learn. But you cannot put that in, this is how God's going to do it now. You know when you hear a verse three times in a very short amount of time, God's trying to get your attention? Can I go to the next slide, please? Next one. Sorry. Isaiah 43:18-19, you'll see that Isaiah 43:19 is on the board. That was the third time it got my attention. It had been there all week. I hadn't noticed it. I walked here on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday morning, I looked at it and went, wow. Isaiah 43:18 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See? Next slide. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Am I alone in thinking that God's up to something new? Or can you perceive it too? Let's see a show of hands. Can you sense that God is doing something new? Yeah. I'm glad I'm not alone. I'm making a way in the wilderness. Who's felt like they've been in a wilderness? Once again, come on. Don't be shy. I have. He's making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The most unlikely of places. The streams of living water are beginning to flow. Wouldn't it be just like God to pick a little place called Mombolk? To do something magnificent on the earth? Why not? Why not? He chose Azusa Street. It was nothing special. For those of you who know Pentecostal history, Brownsville Revival, nothing special. Bethlehem, definitely nothing real special. And then he came out of Galilee, and that definitely wasn't special. Yeah. Galilee was the, forgive me for anyone who comes from Broadmeadows, but you know, it was the Broady Town. You know what I'm talking about. Every town's got one. And God loves them too. So much so that Jesus came from a place like that, the uneducated. What do you mean, Peter, the fishermen would be the disciples, the ones that would change the world? They didn't make it anyway. They weren't the best of the best. Only the best of the best made it to become Sadducees, Pharisees and those things, because they knew how to read. They memorized the word of God really well. And if you didn't do very well at that, you got sent back to the trades. It's the way it worked. I know myself. I know that I'm not the best of the best. I struggle to get from head to paper with thoughts. Reading's not brilliant for me. And God wants to use me and he wants to use you from Mombok to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And then he wants to take us to the end of the earth. Brendan's got a heart for Thailand. I want to see revival start here and then go to Thailand with him. And then you have stuff there and you bring it back and we get to actually... Why not? And it comes from one thing. It comes from laying down my stuff and choosing to trust God. That's really easy said from the pulpit. But when life is like, and you can add the other words, it's sometimes really hard to trust him. What do you mean he's good? What do you mean his faithfulness endures forever? I feel like I've been run over by a truck. What do you mean my God is good all the time? My children are struggling with this, or my children are struggling with that. And the enemy gets inside of our heads and goes, yeah, because God's not that good. He uses the same lie. He's only got one tactic. You ever realize that? The enemy's got one tactic. He just uses it in multiple ways. And it is God really good? He used it in the garden with Eve. Works so well, he will use it on us and people every single day. Because if he can get you and me to doubt his goodness and doubt that he is who he says he is in his word, he gets a foothold. And it's time to get him out and the truth and learning to trust no matter what. And the only way we can do that is if we have each other. Last week, I got you to stand if you were lonely and isolated. A lot of you stood. It's a tactic of the enemy. When he gets us lonely and isolated, he can pick us off one by one. But when we stand together in unity, Acts says it time and time and time again, signs and wonders follow. In other words, the enemy gets a whooping. Yeah. We need to get excited about giving the enemy a whooping. Because he's had enough play. He's had enough. I've had enough of seeing the destruction of families. The pain that people walk through. Are you in agreement, Jasmine? We need to do it for you. Because that's why we need each other. When you're feeling a bit weak or I'm feeling weak, someone else will be strong beside me. And we get to pull each other up. Strong, arm in arm. This wasn't in my thoughts pattern, but anyway, I'll go there. Denny Silk does a talk on the redwood forests of California. Now, I haven't actually been to the redwood forest out here. I've heard it's pretty spectacular. I have seen some of the redwoods that are down along the track at Warburton, and they're beautiful trees. I've seen the images online of the redwoods in California, and they look spectacular trees. And he said, one of the things that's really interesting about these trees is they actually don't have deep root systems. Their root systems actually go down and then they spread out. And they interlink with each other. So when the winds come, they move and they hold each other up. What a beautiful picture that the church is meant to be like that. That we get to interlock with each other. And we just get to lean and go with it, and we get to be the strength for the person there. When the roots get a little bit unsettled, hook in. Get another person around you. Who finds that hard? When you're down, is it a natural thing for you to go, I'm going to call Nigel, or I'm going to call Brendan or whoever? No, we usually, when we're down, we run off and go, we put this up. But if we turn around and think of the mirror being Jesus, if we're looking at him, he's looking back at us, transforming us, and we're all doing that together, how strong are we going to be? If we take down our guards and we go, I allow people to see my heart. Our greatest desire in humanity is to be known by God and known by each other. The reality is you get hurt in community, and I don't think there's a person in the room that has probably not been hurt by church in some way, shape or form, religion or whatever. Or if you're new to the church, maybe it's you haven't been hurt by people. But we actually get healed in those relationships too. So as I've challenged you over the last few weeks, is how do we become a safe people? How do we become safe for each other? How do we let the Word of God penetrate our lives? We go on a personal journey with God, allowing him to bring conviction, letting him expose the lies, and we need others to help us on that journey. And as we unpack that stuff and we pull that out, we actually can live pure in relationship with him and with each other. We learn to trust one another as we learn to trust him more. And that can be hard, but it's a choice. It's a choice not to trust him, and it's a choice to trust him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpse, dead in your sins and offences. It wasn't long ago that you lived in the religion, customs and values of the world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and who works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. Once again, the enemy's tactic is to destroy the word of God. But God wants to fill you. He wants to get rid of all of the stuff. Why? So that Paul's prayer I'll just bring this verse up in my Bible. Paul prayed this prayer. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is God's love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete, and all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all the glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power, to work with us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask, think, and other versions say, imagine. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus. We have to be willing to let God rip out the roots of the lies of the enemy. And if you've been following any prophetic voices that have been declaring stuff over our nation, it's what's been said over and over and over and over again over the last month or so. God is going down, he's pulling out deep stuff It hurts. But if we allow him to pull that out, anyone that does horticulture will know that if you get the roots of the thing you don't want growing out, you'll be able to get the thing you do want in. Aren't these beautiful little girls? Hey, how you doing? And that's what he wants to do in all of us. He wants to take out those roots of bitterness. He wants to take out those roots of anger. He wants to take out the roots of addiction. He wants to do everything else so that the roots are rooted in love. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You good? Yeah, I'm good too. Can you stay there? You can stay there. That's fine. They're a good-looking group of people, aren't they? Huh?
What are those?
I'll tell you later. God wants our roots to be... She's all right. Yeah, we'll talk about the drums later, okay? God wants those roots to go deep in one thing, and that's it, rooted in his love. It's really good timing you come up, you know. You can stay with me. You know, I love this little girl. Not because she's done anything for me. I just love her. I love her mum and dad, and I love her their family. And God wants us to know that too, that we don't have to do anything for him. Because we could try and be the best performing seals in the whole wide world, and if we don't just accept his gift of love, then it means nothing. And so when God says, hey, that root of this and the root of that and those things, let's just get it out. I know it hurts for a bit. And then let the roots go deep into my love. The security. You know, this little girl will be secure when she knows she's loved. And for any of us in this room, we know what it feels like to not be loved. And how insecure that would be, make us feel. If we have a deep revelation of the love of Christ, that it can never ever be plumbed the depths of it, we can never go to the depths of it, we can never exceed the widths of it. His love is so extravagant. And he wants us to be so rooted in that. Like that song that we've sung, and I don't know whether you're sick of it or not, but I'm not. We are no longer slaves to fear. Because of his love. Father God, I don't know what you're wanting to do in our hearts this morning other than to invite us into a place of trust. Complete trust and surrender to you, knowing that you bring good gifts to your children. You don't want us to look like we've been sucking on lemons. You want us to be full of joy and hope and peace. You want your goodness and your mercy and your grace to be so evident in our lives that we can do nothing more than be a conduit of your love into our community and see revival touch this place. Is Angus being noisy, is he?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. Father, I thank you for the beauty of children. And you say in your word, come to you as little children. Completely trusting, completely innocent. And just desperately needing love. And Father, I don't think I'm alone in this room saying that I need more of your love. I need a deeper revelation of your love. I need to know that you love me.
I see Evie.
You go find Evie. Father, we desperately need your love. and we need your love to break through our walls. So that not only can your love get into our hearts, but we can actually get out and people can get to see the real Jason, the real Karen, the real Nigel, the real every person in this room. That we can get out and we can get in because we've actually trusted you with the walls that we've put up. So Father, bring the walls down. Because we can't do it on our own. There's so many things, as you showed me yesterday, so many things we don't understand why. And then you shine your light on and we go, ha, I understand. Father, may your light shine deep within our hearts and teach us to trust you no matter what.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.